This is David Duke. This is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio Broadcast, broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance to Europeans and people of European descent, wherever they may live upon the earth, and certainly it's important for all people. It's good to be back with you. It's great to be back with you after quite a hiatus. We had a fantastic conference in Moscow called The White World's Future. It was held in Moscow, Russia, June 8 through 10, 2006. And it was based on an initiative of the Russian international magazine, Athenaeum, and the Russian European Synergy Center. This conference was held. It had both scientific and practical aspects and was dedicated to the common roots, traditions, and contemporary problems faced by the white world. And it included their possible solutions. The conference was held at the Assembly Hall of the International Fund for Slavic Literature and Culture at the Chernigovsky Perelog, and that's 913, and it was held according to the rules of accreditation declared in advance. The conference was coordinated and hosted by Pavel Tuliev. In 2 days, a number of reports were delivered, including Requiem or Reconquista, by Anatoly Ivanov of Russia. That's just a few of the notes here. The Role of Russia by Guillaume Fay from France, who I came to know quite well. Strategy for the New Culture by Pierre Krebs of Germany. There's just so many aspects of this and so many individuals. The Hygiene of the European Thought by Vladimir Avdeyev. And by the way, Vladimir is one of the leading race scientists, in fact, not only in Russia, but in the world, and he publishes one of the most beautiful and fantastic magazines about the heritage and the culture of our people that you could possibly imagine. I just wish everyone could read Russian. My Russian's pretty poor. I teach, in fact, in English, but it's just a fantastic magazine, and what Russian I know, the magazine is just incredible, and you should just take a look at it. The feel of it in your hands is incredible. The White World and Mondialization by Jose Maria Alvarez of Spain. Of course, my speech was The Fight for a Race and Our Future. That was by myself, of course, David Duke from USA. And our future state, this was on the second day, according to the Indo-European Traditions by Jean-Bert Telenon, and that's from Britannia. And Native Faith in the New Renaissance, its place and role. This is from Dr. Losko from Ukraine. We also had a fantastic speaker from Greece. And in my speech, if you've heard my speech already, you'll know I made an allegory with the great Greek patriot, Regis Ferris. And he, in fact, I think this gentleman enjoyed that story quite a bit. In fact, he was surprised that I knew much about Greek history. European Heritage and Uncertain Future, that's by Enrique Raviella of Spain. And just a whole number. Gerhard Reisiger made a fantastic talk on the danger of Turkey's mass immigration and Turkey's membership in the EU, which is a really great speech. Konstantin Hofmeister made a speech, White Eurasia, Biopolitics versus Geopolitics. And his speech was a bit more stronger than I go along with, but again, he's certainly a patriot for our heritage, and we have a big tent here. But I enjoy this company very much, and he's a very erudite type guy. Kind of reminds you of an Errol Flynn type, to tell you the truth. We had a very fine Speech and Talk by Pavel Tuliev, and that's in fact the host. And then after, we went to a fantastic conference, an incredible conference, where we had a actual complete orchestra. That's right, a complete orchestra. It is just incredible. It was a ceremonial evening party after the first night, and then the second night, there was a classical and modern music concert performed by the Russian National Academic Orchestra, Boyan, directed by the National Artist of Russia and the USSR, Professor Anatoly Polyatev. The vocal turns were performed by soloist Kulyunkaya Farov, and I hope I pronounced that properly, and Ermakova. It was really fantastic, great musical compositions of European classical composers such as Glinka, Grieg, Strauss, Danod, we just go on, Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, and many patriotic hymns which were welcomed by cheers in Russia. Right after the concert, the delegates were invited onto the stage and had a chance to address the audience with brief, salutary speeches. The delegates spoke about the importance of white unity in the modern world, and after that, a dinner party took place. The whole thing was fantastic, and I was really honored to be a part of it, and I hope that I made a great contribution to it, and I think from the words that we heard that this certainly did take place. I'm now doing a few lectures. There was some special classes, in fact, by some university professors in Central Europe. And I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy that I was able to get out and do some climbing in the Alps. It's my renewal. I don't get a chance, but perhaps, you know, half a dozen, perhaps a dozen days of the year to do some climbing, some exercise. And usually I go up for 4 or 5 hours. So it's kind of like a long workout, or maybe a situation where someone would go boating or hunting or something like that. But for me, you know, a few days of climbing is incredibly refreshing. It's for me, it's like a rebirth and renewal. It's fantastic. And climbing a mountain is, to me, very similar to the struggle that we have in front of us, what we face. Because after not climbing for about a year, it was a little less than that. I did some climbing with some skiing back in winter. But after so much time not really using a lot of the muscles in your legs and the joints of your knees and the rest of your body, after about 2 hours of going straight up the side of a mountain, it's your whole body cries to quit. I mean, it seems like there's pain coming out of every pore, every sinew, every cell of your body. You just want to turn around and go back, but you make a commitment. You have a commitment to reach the top of that mountain, to reach the summit, and so you just continue, and somehow you do it. And it seems, when you're doing it, it seems impossible that you can go on any further. Just your body is just crying, racked with pain. But as you go up, it's a little cooler. As you go up, the panorama gets greater, but it seems that every ridge you approach is not the final ridge, and then there's another and another, and you just keep putting one foot in front of the other, and you just keep going up and up and up and up, and finally you reach the summit, and you see so much beauty. In fact, you see so much beauty on the way up and on the way down, but when you reach the summit, you know, all the pain kind of just washes away. You can lay yourself out on a nice warm rock in the sun and just enjoy. In fact, in Germany and Austria and Italy and also in Spain and other areas, many of these areas have huts and actual restaurants on top of the mountains. And this is very frequent, much more common in Europe than in America. And literally, you can get a nice beer on tap, and you can get a nice, wonderful, warm, hot meal. And the prices, by the way, up in the mountains are no different than down in the valleys. The prices are reasonable. And even with the exchange rate being pretty poor between America and Europe right now, as far as the American dollar is concerned, it's still, you know, very economical. I mean, for six, seven, eight dollars or $10, you can get a very nice lunch. You go to Aspen or you go to any American ski resort and you try to eat lunch, you go to a self-service cafeteria and it'd be $25, $30, $40 just to eat a simple lunch. And it's just not that way in the Alps. They don't have that kind of, you know, gouge you, get everything they can out of you kind of spirit. But climbing is just something that it touches my soul, and to do it in the heart of Europe is something very, very special. Although I've climbed in the Rockies and I've climbed in the Olympics before up in Washington State, and I've climbed in Oregon and I've climbed in the mountains of California. But it's just something special to climb in the heart of Europe. And it's still an incredibly powerful, it's almost like a rebirth. It just gives me so much encouragement, so much idealism. And as I climb, I think of all sorts of different ways to express my beliefs to our people. And ladies and gentlemen, our people are in such a catastrophe today, such a crisis. And you're seeing it in the center of Europe too. You see more and more non-Europeans everywhere you go. And of course, the same thing is true in America. You see more and more non-Americans, you know, everywhere you go. America's changing dramatically. Europe's changing dramatically. And it's a change, I don't believe, for the better. And it's a change that will essentially just wipe away our traditions, our heritage, and even the basis of our life form in this planet. And I do believe that our people have an ultimate and a guaranteed right to live. It's amazing today, ladies and gentlemen, that a white person, no one can even criticize programs that will wipe out our people, that will commit a genocide against our heritage, both in Europe and America. And that's precisely what's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We have a 1.2 birth rate. Listen to the speech that I made in Russia. I hope you'll hear that. Read the text. You'll find it on davidduke.com. We are literally being wiped off the planet, and no one is allowed to criticize that change. You know, in fact, we're supposed to welcome it. I'm not going to welcome it. I'm going to fight it with every bit of my abilities and organization and talents and whatever. And I'm going to do everything I can to wake up our people around the world. And we've got, all of us have got to wake up the people around the world who believe as we believe. And those of you who, what I'm saying there is those who believe like we believe, they've got to be woken to action. They have, they believe as we do, but they're still asleep in the fact that they just sit back and let this happen. And of course, we've also got to fundamentally wake up those who simply have no inkling about what's going on, are so wrapped up in their own lives, and you can't blame people for that. Many of these people have never been exposed to our ideas. And you've got to expose them to these principles and ideas and this logic. And so many of our people who are good people, once they have a chance to read and study and understand these things, everything indeed will change. Will absolutely change. And it's going to change too, ladies and gentlemen. I can see it changing every day. It's changing. And we're going to continue to try to encourage and bring about that change. I also want to talk to you for a second about the very fine article, and you'll find it at davidduke.com, by Reverend Ted Pipe, which is an interesting article, The Real Motive Behind the Department of Global Antisemitism. This is one more example of the incredible Jewish extremist control and domination of our government. They've got a whole part now of our State Department, that is doing nothing more but trying to push the Zionist line around the world and trying to make illegal and to equate with terrorism simply those individuals and those organizations and those parties that dare to criticize Jewish supremacism, Jewish extremism, and of course Israel and Zionism. I hope you enjoy that. I hope you read it. I look forward to being back with you tomorrow. I'm going to be with you all this week. And I'm really thankful that, I'm very thankful for today. I was in the mountains today up until a few minutes ago. I'm a little bit tired, but I feel renewed, and I think I found a lot of inspiration that would really help me as I continue to work on the new editions of My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism, and of course my new book, which will eventually be out there, called For Love of My People. Well, that's about it. Until next time, I certainly hope that all of you will do your best in spreading these ideas. It's not enough simply to think this way. You've got to go out and reach more people with these principles. That's what it's all about. That's the only way that we can change the world. We have to go person to person to person, and you have that responsibility. Everyone reading this, whether it be in a text or reading my website, and everyone hearing this, you've got to help bring this cause to the awareness of your friends and family and others, not only in the United States, but all over the world. And you have in front of you the most powerful instrument our people have ever had, and that's the Internet, with which you can spread these ideas all over the world. Thanks so much, and I'll certainly see you again tomorrow. Bye-bye now.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.daviddukes.com.